Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. In my previous lesson, I spoke from verse 1, but today I'm going to speak from verse 2. Jesus, after his introduction as the one who held the seven stars in his right hand, as the one who walks amidst them, he says, "I know." These were the first words that he spoke to each of these churches. "I know" appeared to all seven churches. "He whose eyes are as a flame of fire has perfect knowledge of his servants." And this knowledge is the basis on which he gave them praise or gave them blame. He said, "I know." This was not something that the pastor had told him. This was not something that he overheard at a prayer conference. This was not even something that the devil, the accuser of the saints, had told him. This was not hearsay. This was not a rumor. Doesn't that bring comfort to your heart? To know that he knows? He said, "I know." In fact, he said, "I know what you have need of before you ask." God knows where you're at. He knows where the seed of the devil is. He also knows where you sit. You may be sitting in a wheelchair, in a courtroom, or in a jail cell. He knows. He knows the aches and pains that's in your body. He knows all of these trials that you have come to. He knows the temptations that you are faced with. How does he know? He walks with you. He allowed them that your life may reflect his image. He says, "They hated me. They're going to hate you. I suffered. You're going to suffer. In this world, you shall have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So take courage and know that he knows. He knows that divorce that you're about to go through. He knows that marriage that's about to break up. He knows about the child that's sick. He knows about the job you've lost. God has allowed these things to come into your life, that you may be stronger once you have gone through these. You remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Now, I know what you're saying now. Here comes that same old coffee cup scripture. I've heard it all my life. But let me quote it to you just one more time. "All things work together for good to them that love God." That's a fact, my friend. Do you love God? A lot of people quote that and leave out the part "to them that love God." Some say, "All things work together for good for them that are called according to his purpose." But never forget to include those words. It works together for good to them that love God. Why is that? Because God loves you. Hallelujah. God loves you. He knows about these things. And if he didn't think that you could overcome these, he wouldn't allow this to happen. The Bible tells me that he will put nothing on you that you are unable to bear. He will help you overcome this. He will help you go through this trial. He's not going to exempt you from it. This is a test. These fiery trials are more valuable than gold tried in the fire. He's going to help you finish the test. You remember in school, when you didn't finish a test, you had to retake it. But once you have finished the test, it was over. But of course, that doesn't mean you won't have more tests on the same subject. In fact, it won't be many days before you have another test on the same subject. But if you don't finish the first test, you don't qualify for the second test. I wonder how many of those of us who have not finished the test that Jesus had for us, we've decided that we wanted to opt out of that test. When we do that in school, you know what grade we get? Incomplete. We don't get an A or a B or C or even a D. We get an incomplete. We didn't finish. Therefore, we are not going to move up to the next level. Don't we all want to move up to a higher level? And then he says, I know your works and your labor and your patience. God knows your works. He knows what you're doing. He can see you in the kitchen fixing food for the hungry. He can see you in the clothes closet picking out clothes for the naked. He can see you in your struggling for your divorce. He can see you as you look for another job after just being fired. He can help you get through this. He may not repair your marriage. It takes more than one. He can help you get through this thing. God loves you. He'll never leave you. He said, I know your labor, and I know your patience. The Ephesians had learned to work, and they had learned to wait. He commended them for this. I know these things. I saw you as you waited for things to change in your life. I have watched you as you waited for the fruits of your labor, for the fruits of your hand. I've watched you. You have labored in the Word. You have taught the Sunday school class. You have pastored the church and have not seen immediate fruit. I know how you have waited. You've trusted that God would give the increase. You planted, you watered, you cultivated, and now he sees you as you wait for the harvest. This reminds me of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. I would suggest that you would underline this, highlight it with a marker, and commit it to memory. It says, you have need of patience, for after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Many of us have done what God has told us. We've gone to the places He has sent us, and we have worked, we have labored, we have waited to no avail. But eventually, we ran out of patience and just picked up and left before God brought forth the harvest, left before God gave the increase, which reminds me of Bishop Rowland. Many years ago, he felt the call of God to go to Africa. He did, and for 6 long years, he had not one convert, not one. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how he felt and what he said when he returned to America to raise money for his missionary journey? He had not one convert to report. Do you think this stopped him from going back? He continued to go back to where God sent him. And one day, he said, I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to rent the largest building in the town. So he did. He had attached himself to a small group of believers, about 20, and after he rented the building for a meeting, about an hour before the service was scheduled to start, he and that small group of believers gathered around the altar, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And when they completed their prayer, they stood up, turned around, and the building was filled with people. That night, hundreds were saved, 175 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Friend, wait on the Lord. Wait for the harvest. Time spent waiting on God is never wasted time. Jesus knows. I'm going.